T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. Maggie, I have great news. I have been reading Top Gun reviews. Top Gun Maverick. Let me read one from the Seattle Times. This is a headline. The danger zone has never felt so dangerous and worth watching. Tom Cruise is back. Finally, a stroke of luck for America's most famous actor. Feels like we're back in the 80s. It is full-on Tom Cruise week here on the Maggie and Perloff Show.
Oh, yeah. Getting fond memories of watching that first ever Top Gun beach volleyball scene and thinking, maybe I should brush my hair before I go to school the next day. You know, it just does something to a young girl. But you know what? We're here celebrating Tom Cruise all week because of Top Gun Maverick. So we did a Mission Impossible Possible segment earlier in the show, and we're going to keep that going now. We're going to do our Risky Business segment. This is our send-up here to Tom Cruise. You can hear a little our fake Bob Seger music, old-time rock and roll, because we can't play the original thing because it costs too much for us to play that, and we wouldn't be able to post it on social media. So we're going to give you a couple things going on in sports right now. We'll decide whether or not this is risky business. Okay, let's start with what's going on with the Los Angeles Lakers and their head coaching search. Now, we thought it was down to the finalists of, hold on to your hats, Kenny Atkinson, Terry Stotts, and Darvin Ham. Wow. As if that group could not be added to. But here comes Mark Stein, who is saying that there are many, or some in the Lakers organization who are still holding out hope that Doc Rivers, Perloff, the coach of your 76ers, is going to become available, and that labeling those three gentlemen I mentioned as finalists was, quote, a touch premature. So, what do you think? Risky business for the Lakers to try to make a play for Doc, or good business?
No, I think it's bad business. I don't understand, like, Doc Rivers, if you have a great roster and you need, like, a veteran guy to come in and sort of help get you over the hump, maybe. But the Lakers need a lot from their head coach. Like, don't they need somebody new and young and, like, really energetic who's going to help figure out, make up for the flaws on this roster? I don't see the Doc Rivers fit. I haven't really understood it from the beginning. So I guess that means it's kind of risky to bring in Doc Rivers, because I don't know that this is what I would look for to coach.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, the one question I need to know, is this roster going to be getting younger, or is it going to be staying older? Because if it's getting younger and they have a lot of roster spots to fill, then yes, a guy like Kenny Atkinson, who's known for being like a developmental coach, is probably going to be, I could see where you would go towards someone like that. But if you're just going to bring in like more Carmelo Anthony's and more of these older guys, then maybe Doc Rivers would be a fine fit here. Here's my big question about Doc. He's under contract with your 76ers. So he either has to be fired by Philly, or you have to trade for him. And the last thing that the Lakers have are assets. I mean, who do they have? What do they have to trade?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it'd be like maybe as a favor, Doc Rivers could ask to get released, just be so he could go back to L.A. That's the only scenario. A trade seems ridiculous. Like, the Lakers, if they could trade anything, they got to get a player.
If you're going to trade anybody, you got to trade Russell Westbrook. I mean, if you're going to attach your first-round pick, you know, the 2027, you got to do that to get rid of Russ, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's interesting. What if the Lakers said, hey, we'll give you Russell Westbrook for Doc Rivers?
Doc Rivers.
I'd be like, All right, I would do it. I mean, Doc is 60, but at least he won't have as many turnovers as Russell. So I'll keep him. I'll play Doc.
Oh, man. So you say risky business.
Yeah.
Do you have a thought on who you want to coach the 76ers? Like, on the flip side of this, do you have a name? Is it Jay Wright? Like, who do you want?
I don't think Jay Wright wants to do it. I don't want D'Antoni, actually, because I've seen the D'Antoni James Harden marriage. I know how far it goes, and it does not go to a title. So that you know who I hold as a gold standard of coaching, and it makes no sense, and tell me if I'm crazy. I feel like everyone should try to be Nick Nurse, because I feel like Popovich is the best, but he's too old. Who's closest to Popovich in style? I feel like Nick Nurse has a lot of Popovich in him, and I don't really know why exactly won one title, but he's a guy who's always given the Sixers fits, so I'd love to have a Nick Nurse.
All right. He's also under contract.
Yeah, I know. Do you have a guy? Like, is there like one guy, maybe a younger coach who is really exciting?
I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of young coaches who are exciting, but I love the Jay Wright story just because of the story part of it. You know, like Philadelphia guy. Well, he's not, but like, you know, in the Philadelphia area at Nova for all those years, doesn't love NIL, pushed him out of the sport. Maybe now he goes to the NBA.
Right. But why would Jay Wright, like, is that a formula to bring like a successful college coach over to win an NBA title? I'd have to look at it, but I don't feel like that's a blueprint for success in the NBA. Has that ever done anything? I remember Calipari gave the Nets and did nothing. Rick Pitino, nothing.
Brad Stevens got pretty close. I mean, they didn't get to a finals, but they got multiple Eastern Conference finals.
But Brad Stevens was young and genius, and Jay Wright's been around for 30 years. So it just feels weird to me, that kind of move. And I know you like Coach K to the Lakers, but the same thing. Like, I don't know. Does Coach K make the Lakers an instant contender? Kind of hard
Billy
to believe.
Donovan's been pretty good in Chicago and Oklahoma City before that. Okay. But obviously not a close to championship. Let's go to our next risky business or good business. And this is our big send up here to Tom Cruise all week. Saw an interesting article where Pro Football Focus was doing some projections on what kind of contracts certain NFL players would be in line for. And so for Kyler Murray, the projection was, signing this offseason, 6 years, $280 million with $155 million guaranteed per off. Risky business or good business?
Oh, so risky. Feels like, you know, Carson Wentz and Jared Goff both signed second deals, and they were way less than that, and they turned out to be nightmares. I feel like the risk of that turning bad would be way too great for that kind of contract. I think that's a massive risk for a young quarterback who has never really, you know, Kyler Murray's been really good, but he's never been like top five, top six, seven in the NFL. His numbers are kind of average. So I don't see that move making any sense.
Okay. Three-time Pro Bowler. I know that there have been second half swoons here, but Kyler Murray is an excellent quarterback. He throws an incredible deep ball. I get that he's a little smaller in stature, but this would work out to be about $46 million a year-ish. And, like, Aaron Rodgers is already costing you $50 million a year, and it's just going to keep going up and up and up. I think this could be good business, getting a franchise quarterback signed for $46 million per year, and then you know you have your guy under contract. Like, you either believe Kyler's your guy or not. There's not going to be a way to split the baby here. If you're the Cardinals, so I would do this, and I would think it'd be good business.
Do you know Kyler Murray's never had 4,000 yards in a season, and has never had more than 26 touchdowns in a season? I mean, he hasn't played that long, but in today's NFL,
he's
like,
going into year four.
I know, but those are not 4,000 yards. I mean, Jared Stidham, we just talked about, could throw for 4,000 yards. He just he's never exploded. It's interesting, you know. I didn't know the three-time Pro Bowl thing, but he just is, he's not really proven like Dak Prescott. He hasn't had that, like, at least be in the top five MVP voting yet. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't feel like $260 million makes sense to me yet.
I'm just hoping I'm paying him for what he's going to deliver on, not what he has done. But, okay, let's move on. Risky business, good business. Well, I think we kind of know where this one landed. And that was reports out of South Florida that the Florida Panthers, after losing Game 3 to the Tampa Bay Lightning, a lot of players on the team, I don't know if it was all of them, but a good number of players on the team were spotted at a strip club out until 3 o'clock in the morning. And Perloff, they got swept out of the Stanley Cup playoffs after having the best record in the regular season. Risky business to be out all night at the strip club when you're down 0-3.
Which was ironically called risky business. So I think it fits perfectly.
Rebecca De Mornay was actually in the crowd.
I'm sure there's about 300 strip joints called risky business. No, I don't think that's a risk at all. I mean, the sports world is littered with stories of guys going to strip joints the night before and having killer games the next day. I kind of like it. Like, whatever they were doing wasn't working. Anybody who points to that as the reason they lost the series, I don't think that makes sense. I feel like we all know, Maggie, we've all heard stories of the guy who was up all night and then had the best day of his career the next day. I figure it was almost risky not to go to a strip club.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess like one of the most famous ones is probably David Wells, right? And Boomer was all night and then pitched a perfect game. This is totally risky business. Who's down 0-3 and then you decide to stay out all night? That's like the worst. Who thought up this plan? A bunch of frat boys? This is the worst idea possible. I guess wanting to stay loose, but you're also professional athletes. Like, I'm going Tom Brady on this thing. I'm getting 15 hours of sleep. I'm drinking green juice. Strip clubs will be for after the season. I got to lock in right now.
Yeah, I don't know if you're fitting hockey culture right now, Maggie. Honestly, I feel like you're not going to be the most popular player on the Panthers with your green juice and 15 hours of sleep. You'll have like, you can hang over with that Swedish dude in the corner. The rest of us are going to go have a good time.
Yeah, tell me how it went.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hockey guys do not get cheated, Maggie. I hope you are well aware of this. That is not a sport where everybody's getting 15 hours of sleep.
No, I know. And I also, I'm aware of strip club culture and professional athlete culture, the Venn diagram that exists between those two things. So I'm not anti-strip club either. Yeah, everyone has to make a living.
They're almost mostly there for the wings, though, Maggie, to be honest. It's high protein.
Yeah, it's everyone who goes to the strip clubs for the food. It's like reading Playboy for the articles. Got it. Okay, our next risky business or good business. DeAndre Ayton, who does not have a contract extension with the Phoenix Suns, but multiple teams are very interested in signing him to a max deal. Obviously, the Suns can match it because he's a restricted free agent, but Perloff, risky business signing DeAndre Ayton to a max.
Well, if you're a team that's never going to sign a big name max guy, then maybe DeAndre Ayton makes sense because he could be 20 and 10. He could be a good player. I was really disappointed from what I saw from him in the postseason. Just the style of today's NBA, I'm not sure he's a championship player. So it's risky if your goal is to immediately add Ayton and win a title. But if you're a team that really doesn't have title aspirations but's got to spend their money, you're a small market or an unpopular team, then I don't think there's a huge risk. But if you're like one player away, then it's risky.
Okay, so here are the teams that are allegedly in the mix for Ayton. The Detroit Pistons.
That makes
sense. Portland Trailblazers, the Atlanta Hawks, Charlotte Hornets, and San Antonio Spurs.
Ooh, that's not exactly
That's quite a mix.
Yeah, the Lakers, Knicks, and Celtics as far as right. Yeah, I mean, I like him catching alley-oops from Trae Young and Lamar from... What's his name? LaMelo Ball would be pretty awesome. Like, those are good fits right there. You know, exactly. Like, you got to look at who's my playmaker. Can he find the center? Would it be just the alley-oop guy? But, again, Maggie, are you going to pay for a center in today's game? Like, are you comfortable for a non-MVP center at that kind of money? Is it a position that's worth it?
Well, I mean, I just watched the Phoenix Suns get to the finals last year. And, you know, DeAndre Ayton had some moments in that playoff run that were so impressive. And I think that's why it was really surprising, to some degree, that the Suns were not engaging him in any kind of contract extension, considering he was the number one overall pick, too, from that franchise. So, you make a good point about LaMelo. I kind of like the Trae Young, right, as like a DeAndre Ayton is like a better Clint Capella, you know?
Yep. But you would need to pay. Do you need to pay to upgrade from Clint Capella? Like, is that where you want to put your dollars?
Well, I mean, I don't know. You have a team in the Hawks who are, you know, are you going to be like in playoff purgatory or are you going to be like a real thing? You know, that's always what we wonder about the Hawks. I think Ayton's going to find a home here. I think he's going to get paid a ton. Pistons are interesting too.
Yeah, Pistons have some nice young players. You're right. A small market team or a up and coming team is a better fit than what we have now.
No doubt. Okay, so that concludes our risky business, good business, is that we continue to celebrate the life and times of Tom Cruise. Yes.
Can we talk about how lame that Bob Seger ripoff was there for Risky Business? It was like slowed down to the point where it got so obnoxious by the end. Yeah, like I want my house music to be wailing away. This is just sort of like mellow, you know, like slow down, boys. You know, we don't want to get too close to Risky Business.
Well, in a pinch, I appreciate the effort and the attempt to try to find something. But yes, if Tom Cruise were going to slide across the floor in the socks and his underpants, it would really be a slow-mo slide there. I don't think it would have been the movie moment that we all remember, you know?
Yeah, this is actually from the movie Schmishke Christmas.
Yeah.
It sounds similar, but it's a little bit different.
Yeah, produced in North Korea. It's like a low-rent, risky business. I love house music, by the way. Like, I just picturing the musicians like actually recording those songs is the best. Like, just three guys sitting around, about two of them definitely have goatees. There is no doubt. They're like, all right, guys, we're onto something. This is going to make some good house music.
Yeah, that one guy always looks over at the other guy and just smiles at him, like, hey,
yeah.
I like what we're doing here.
Yeah, I like what we're doing here. It's not going to violate any laws, and it's like got a nice beat.
We're happy to provide free music to everyone on the internet.
Are we getting in trouble for talking about this now? Should we cut this off? Because obviously no, that was not Bob Seger.
No, but Paul Orzumin, who's got a tremendous ear, he found that in the free music archives. So we got to say a big thank you to Paul.
Love it.
Okay, we've got a story for you that you have to hear. This one made the hairs on the back of our neck stand up. It is a feel-good story. You're going to love it, we guarantee. Coming up next, you will hear it. It is Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 158.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Tom Cruise Week continues here at the Maggie and Perloff Show. Man, I keep reading these amazing reviews of Top Gun Maverick. I don't quite understand why a movie about guys flying planes in the era of drones is relevant in any way, but that's why I'm curious to see this movie. And don't get me started. Like, they get, what is that expression he says, that we got to lower the ceiling of where they can fly? You know, buzz the tower. Do you remember any of the details from the first movie?
You know, not as many as I had hoped. I definitely remember the volleyball scene. That's for sure.
I remember the singing scene. You have to remember the scene where they sing Righteous Brothers. That is like...
Yeah, the sound when they sing. Obviously, I remember what happened to Goose.
Yeah.
But
that might be the first time I ever cried in a movie was when Goose died.
Do you remember Goose's ex-wife or widow-wife?
Yes, Meg Ryan.
Meg Ryan.
Oh, man, Meg Ryan.
What if Tom Cruise had gotten with Meg Ryan in that movie, just knowing who's going to become the biggest star, and Kelly McGillis left movies after Witness? So there you go.
I just... I'm shocked that this movie is actually good. Like, that's what I'm most surprised by. Like, it's been filming for like years, right? I think the pandemic, you know, interrupted it. The fact that this is now like a critical acclaim when I thought it was mostly just going to be like a Hollywood popcorn, you know, like nostalgia movie for people our age, Perloff. Like, I'm shocked that this is actually like a 97 fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, that part of it is the biggest stunner. However, can I tell you, I got a news out of the Cannes Film Festival.
Mm.
And it turns out that I know Top Gun Maverick got this massive standing ovation. Samter told us about this yesterday. It like went on and on. There was a movie that topped it. Woody Harrelson's new movie, Triangle of Sadness, got reportedly an 8-minute standing ovation at the Cannes Film Festival.
Wow.
Think about that in real time. Yeah. 8 minutes? That's a long time to stand and clap.
Triangle Sadness. That sounds like, remember when Seinfeld had an artsy movie? They always called it Rochelle from Milan to Minsk. The Triangle of Sadness.
I thought it was going to be the Triangle of Sadness is like me to you to Samter, you know, back again.
I think those are basically the exact opposite movies. I watched a lot about this movie. So this is in the trailer, so I can tell you, but I got sad immediately. There's a picture on the wall of Val Kilmer, an older Val Kilmer, as Ice, and apparently he's not in the movie. I don't want to spoil too much, but he's like this revered general. And Tom Cruise, again, in the trailer, so I can say it, is still a captain after all these years. And the amazing thing is they're still flying planes, which I don't think is really as big a thing anymore, but we'll have to watch the movie and see. But
I don't know.
Meanwhile, they've given us great ideas for buckets today, which I'm excited about.
We've already done the Mission Impossible Possible. We've done Risky Business, Good Business. We've got more to come. But we've got to get to this story, Perloff, because this is like, you know, sometimes we come across these like incredibly feel-good stories. We talk a lot about the tension in sports and some of the darker things, but like, you know, sometimes these really amazing moments happen, and I think it's important to stop on them for a second. And this one comes from, of all places, the Yankees, which I know doesn't usually engender a lot of positive feelings for a lot of people listening to the sound of my voice. But Jose Trevino is the backup catcher for the Yankees, and he is, a backup bench guy. And what's interesting and what was so cool about his story yesterday, which caught our attention, is he hit the walk-off. He actually had like the game of his life yesterday. And it would have been on his father's 69th birthday. Unfortunately, his father passed away in 2013. His father was this massive Yankee fan. They're from Texas, but his father was a massive Yankee fan who he says never pushed him to play baseball, but was always there for him when he needed him. And he said he used to play in the backyard where they would actually go through scenarios like bottom of the ninth inning, you know, down a run, two on, two out, you know, that whole thing, like you're up to bat at Yankee Stadium to win the game. And this like actually came true yesterday. And Trevino will tell the story himself, but it is incredible. And if you watched it as he hits the walk-off single in the bottom of the 11th inning to win the game yesterday for the Yankees, he looks up to the sky and through tears in his eyes just screams, "Poppy." So let's hear from Jose Trevino yesterday.
Y'all saw some tears. There's a reason behind it. My dad was a huge Yankees fan. If you go back to Father's Day when I got called up, I got a walk-off hit on Father's Day. And he would always put me in these scenarios. He always said, you know, ninth inning, down one, you need a base hit here to tie the game or win the game at Yankee Stadium. And it just, my dad passed away in 2013. And today was his birthday, so it's definitely a special moment there. That's why the tears were there, but it would have been awesome for him to be here, but I know he's watching.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I mean, that's wild, right? And, like, the hair on the back of your neck sticks up for things like that, and his father apparently had, like, his favorite coffee mug which was like a Yankee. I think it's Joe DiMaggio was on the mug. And he drank, Jose drank coffee out of that mug yesterday in honor of his father's birthday. And it wasn't just the walk-off in the 11th. He also had a solo home run in the third inning. He tied the game with a single in the seventh inning and then had the walk-off in the 11th inning. So it was like the game of a lifetime. And then for a backup catcher, that's an incredible day. And then obviously wins the game in the bottom of the 11th. How cool.
Oh, amazing. I mean, you can't write stories like that. Of course, it did remind me a little bit of a dad you want to ever catch, Field of Dreams. Got some of those emotions going.
Yeah.
Love that kind of story.
Really, really cool story. So I wanted to make sure we took a minute to highlight some of the good stuff that's going on around the sport. And that one was certainly, certainly touching. Oh, other small note on that story, just like come full circle. He mentioned in that clip about hitting a walk-off on Father's Day after he got called up to the majors with the Texas Rangers in 2018. He hit a walk-off on Father's Day. And who scored the tying, the winning run that day was Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, who also scored the winning run yesterday for the Yankees. He drove in the same guy. Like, baseball's crazy like that. There's so many like crazy stories that have these ties and you wrap it up in a bow. Okay. So that one was really, really cool. You know, one thing, Perloff, we didn't get to yesterday that we wanted to, which is that the NFL, turns out, needs our help on something. Now, it looks like they want to change the Pro Bowl. They realize the football is crap, right? And we can all just call it what it is. It's not competitive. It's silly. It's a mockery of the sport, right? So they're basically saying they're open to changing the Pro Bowl, but like they kind of want ideas for what could make it better. And I think you and I have a couple good ones that we should lend to the NFL, you know, small fee, finder's fee, whatever, and give the NFL some ideas to make the Pro Bowl a better product.
Yeah, so what should we do? What parameters? We allow, we get the Pro Bowlers in one place and we can make them compete in whatever we want, basically?
So if I were the NFL, what I would want to do is instead of playing football, because we know that that's not what they're doing at the Pro Bowl, whatever they're putting on the field is not football. I think you have the athletes play other sports. Like, wouldn't you kind of want to see like two guys who presumably are like really good at tennis playing against each other, or two guys like playing or a 3-on-3 basketball tournament, or maybe like, I don't know, ping pong, something like that. Wouldn't you tune in for that?
100%. I'm obsessed with good basketball players in the NFL. I'd like to see, like, you know, Drew Locke was supposedly a major high D1 recruit. Who has this kid, Drake London, out of USC, played at USC. I would love to see a basketball game. I'd love to see the offensive lineman playing a finesse sport like tennis. You got to make it like it's some awkward ones, too, where you have like the big guys doing things that big guys aren't supposed to do.
You know what I'd like? Offensive linemen in a diving competition. You know, I want to see who can have the least splash.
You know what? We should just do it. Give them what they want. Do the belly flop competition.
Oh, like I would tune into that more than whatever, you know, is they're putting out there for the Pro Bowl. Can I also take it a step further? Can we just do like, you know, we see this in Hard Knocks sometimes, just like the talent show?
Definitely.
Like, I want more of that because that's usually like a half of like a 10 minutes of an episode of Hard Knocks where they make the rookies like sing and dance and stuff. I'd do a whole Pro Bowl just on a talent show.
Yeah. So we're a big America's Got Talent family. We love that kind of show. Any kind of singing or dancing competition, we're all in. Can you imagine the dancing competition in the NFL? You got Juju Smith-Schuster if he makes the Pro Bowl. And even if he doesn't make the Pro Bowl, I think you fly him in for this because I think he would dominate. And, you know, all these guys are known for their celebrations. Maybe you could just do a touchdown celebration contest. Although, Ooh. Do you not want to give away some of your best stuff at the Pro Bowl?
No, I think this is where you can finally incorporate the props. You know, and you can really expand the rules there. So, like, bring Joe Horn back with the Sharpie and all that, like, all the good stuff. Didn't T.O. have a cell phone? I think it was a flip phone.
Right, but those props only work when they're, like, sort of hidden in the field. Like, at the Pro Bowl, if you had a contest, I don't know if props are going to help a celebration. Like,
wait, Perloff, we do the dunk contest and they bring every prop under the sun, you know?
Does that help the dunk contest? I think that's debatable. Although, when Blake Griffin jumped over the Kia, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Maybe the NBA is going to come knocking next. They need better ideas for the dunk contest now. It's like we're out of dunks.
Maybe you have a good player once in a while. I don't know. Like maybe Zion Williamson, could you give him $1 million to show up at this thing, or LeBron or somebody instead of some like third stringer? Anyway. Yeah,
that, we're going to be fixing all types of things.
Yeah, by the way, we could have a million fixes for the Pro Bowl. It's going to be an uphill battle. We have to both admit that.
No, the NFL wants it. This is great news. They finally want to do something that's not just, I mean, they have the skills competition or whatever, but we're talking about different kind of skills here. Like one of the motivations for this, when I was talking about guys playing tennis, is I remember once for that Ravens-San Francisco 49ers Super Bowl, we happened to be staying in the same hotel as the Baltimore Ravens. And was it Bryant McKinney was the defensive, that huge defensive guy. He was on that team, and he was playing tennis at the hotel. They had indoor tennis courts where we were staying in New Orleans. He was amazing.
Wow.
He could move. The guy's like 350. He was like Nadal out there.
Have him take on like Lane Johnson or some huge lineman. That would be amazing. Yeah, I'd pay to see that.
More than just watching the Pro Bowl. I mean, we can do better, NFL. I'm glad they're soliciting ideas.
I got to tell you, I don't think they could add a million ideas, Maggie. I don't think a skills contest is going to work either. Even the NBA skills contest, the best skills contest of all, that's jumped the shark like 5 years ago. It's going to be tough. You think that there's going to be an easy assignment?
No, but I'm also thinking how it's not an easy assignment now that we know a little bit about the TV tastes at your house, which is watching all those America Got Talent your daughters looking at you being like, all right, Dad, let's do that dance together.
Yeah, yeah. No, I have one daughter who is pretty serious about getting on America's Got Talent. Like, this is like, she has actual steps and plans. Like, I might actually be one of those dads interviewed on one of those shows at some point. I am not joking at all.
We'd be so proud. And speaking of how proud we were that the Dan Patrick Show was nominated for the Sports Emmy yesterday, we'll fill you in on all the details of Perloff's big night last night. We'll get to that in just a moment.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question comes from Dylan in Massachusetts. Perloff, who is the biggest star you saw at last night's Sports Emmys? Don't forget, you could submit a question by going to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweeting it at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag AskThePros. So what do you think, like, athlete star or media star or both? Because the only really recently retired athlete that was near me was Julian Edelman, who was nominated for Inside the NFL on Showtime and looked pretty sick in his sort of whatever suit he was wearing was way more fashionable than me. The biggest media star.
Wait, the biggest athlete star there was Julian Edelman?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's pretty good, but that was the biggest star?
Biggest athletes are. Yeah, there weren't a lot of active athletes there. I mean, nor like in the past, it's been A-Rod has always been there. He wasn't there this year. Strahan has been there a lot. He wasn't there this year. I'm trying to think of who came out first. So they're celebrity presenters. I have the program in front of me. You can see it on TV. It's really super fancy. There's celebrity presenters like Mike Tirico presented, Bomani Jones, Nate Burleson, Malika Andrews. There was a great Tracy Wolfson did an amazing job. There wasn't really like the A-list guys this year. We didn't get Joe Buck. I've seen him there in the past. We didn't get Al Michaels, no Collinsworth, no Troy Aikman. You know who did win though? Tom Brady won a big Emmy for Man in the Arena. That was kind of fun. A lot of the awards, Maggie.
Who was accepting on Tom's behalf?
Deepak Chopra's son, Gautam Chopra.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so Gautam Chopra produced it. Yeah, who's his partner in Religion of Sports. They do a lot of interesting things. It was a really interesting night. A lot of things, Dan Patrick's show, my former show, was up, and we lost a Good Morning Football. Our buddies, I gave a huge hug to I mean, Peter Schrager is my old friend and Kyle Brandt. It was great to see them win. But most of the win things that win, Maggie, are like guys who are like taking a former football player to like the top of Mount Everest and like sliding down on skis with a GoPro and seven cameras and drones. Like the level that you have to win, like I was thinking like the dopey Dan Patrick show with a staff of 11 and like and their Maggie Perloff show, like there's a wide range of production. I mean, some of the things that won, the productions that won are like, they should be up for an Oscar, not a sports Emmy. I'm like, what am I doing here? I was watching one clip. We were watching, they played this one clip from the F1 show on Netflix. It was so dramatic. There must have been $5 million of production put into it. And then they cut to like, the little
Todd Fritz getting like a pie in the face.
No, exactly. It was like me having someone throw a football at my head, or like it just didn't make any sense. It was a wide range of stuff. It was a really fun evening. It was not star studded. You're much more likely to see somebody who's been doing graphics at NBC for two decades than you were to sit down next to a Hall of Fame athlete. But it's really fun. Next year, maybe Maggie. Who knows? Maybe we'll get in there. I don't know.
Listen. We got to grab Julian Edelman and get to the top of Mount Everest ASAP. And that's what we're going to take all the way here to Sports Emmy. That's how we're getting the winner's circle.
They did do an interesting thing, by the way. So 30, you get about a minute for a speech. At 30 seconds, they put up a shot clock. And then at the end of 30 seconds, they had a buzzer that sounded like the end of a basketball game. Stu, I don't know if you can find one of those, like a bing. So people would be emotional.
We got it.
I want to thank my uncle. I want to thank my aunt. I want to thank Billy, who helped me believe in myself. And then there'd be like a gigantic like buzzer sound right as the most emotional part. It was wonderful.
I just want to remember as I was struggling to come up for all those years and I could barely afford to eat and you believed in me and my parents and all my family and my children and my, you can feel free
to
buzzer
me at any time. You got to hit her. I'm going to have to make the noise. I'm getting like, basically, you just did a speech from last night. You must have been there. Our friend Leslie Visser was honored and everybody cried. That was nice. There was a lot.
I got to say though, I know that we're talking about the technical production, but you know, this is the last day that I'm going to be in the home studio here out in New Jersey. And I have to really applaud everyone on the Odyssey side and the CBS Sports Network side, because everyone like got this together really, really fast. I know it's not Mount Everest, but the fact that I didn't have to miss a show this whole time after the COVID positive, like everyone really got you guys all deserve an Emmy for that one.
Yeah. If Stu could find the stupid buzzer, that would have been a perfect time to hit you with the buzzer.
I'm giving you so many opportunities.
It's a minute late. Yeah. I think, I don't know. I think for a Sports Emmy reel, we definitely have to have the lone white hat on Maggie's chalkboard. I'm gonna her corkboard behind her head.
I'm putting it on for the final segment. Hold on.
Yes, you got to put it on. It's been sitting up there, so she has this nice little home setup. And for some reason, there's a way. Oh, there we go. Wow.
It finally goes from the back of the wall. Now I'm gonna wear it for the rest of the show today.
Yeah,
just so the hat gets its proper due.
Yeah, it's very Buena Vista Social Club. I like it a lot. It's super cool. I don't know why you hang that on the wall. They should wear that every day. I don't know. You look a little like Carmen Sandiego. I don't know what's going on here. Like, do you feel
this
like
is
a different
Cabana
person?
Wear.
Yeah, do you feel like a different person with this hat?
If I had like a margarita or something, I would drink it. But I only have silly water here. Wow,
Kentucky Derby, that would have worked.
I know. Well, I have a bunch of hats. I've got so many. So I just put this one up. But no, this is the tribute to the home studio in its final day. I'll be back in the New York studio tomorrow. And the hat will stay here
in
New Jersey.
You have a bunch of hats. Why didn't you put a bunch of hats up there? Why did you have that one hat?
I don't know. Because it like reminds me of summertime. We're almost here. This is like my beach hat. And it puts me in a good mood.
I like it. No, we're looking forward to having you back in the studio. You'd be surprised. Things haven't changed much here. We're pretty much...
Same.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Samter's still eating snacks straight out of the bag, that kind of thing.
Like it's a feed bag. One thing could be true. We could be one step closer. We will be one step closer to crowning an Eastern Conference champ. We got the game tonight. Miami, Boston. This thing is tied up at two apiece. We've had you know, blink and you'll miss it games. Like, if you're not sitting in your seat for the first quarter, you basically miss the game because these have not been close at all, Perloff. What do you think about tonight's game? Prediction time, and do we get a close game?
So I obviously am looking at the health reports, and I become sort of not an expert, but I've come to determine that questionable doesn't always mean questionable, and different teams have different kinds of questionables. Now, Marcus Smart, as you mentioned earlier in the show, the Celtics can be good without him. He's questionable, yes. Like really questionable. He may not be able to play. I feel like Hero and Butler being slowed down just enough gives Boston an edge, and Boston's the better team. So I have to look at this as, like, Boston's had more time to get healthy. I like Boston. I really think they're coming out of the series. They were my original prediction. They're putting up the, I don't know if you see the injury report on CBS Sports Network. There's three hamstring injuries, Strus, Vincent, and Lowry. That can't, is this all real? Like, how can three guys have hamstring injuries? The other one, I like Robert Williams, gets getting healthier and healthier as the playoffs go on. I'm going Boston. Who do you got?
Okay, I'm going to go with the Heat tonight. This almost feels like it for the series, right? You know, you got it's best two out of three now. You've got the Heat at home, and you've got, more guys on the injury report, but the severity of the injuries, like, at any moment, if Robert Williams and Al Horford have to leave the game at all, I just feel like Boston, that could be it. You know, we talk so much about Jason Tatum and Jimmy Butler, but what is this series actually coming down to? It's been way more about the role players than the stars, which is wild, but true. My original pick was Miami, so I feel like I want to stay with the Heat. I'm not going to abandon them now, and I just hope that Jimmy Butler's knee is anywhere close to what it was earlier in the playoffs, or else this could be night-night.
No, it would help you a lot if Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown just handed the ball to the Heat like 15 or 16 times.
15 times?
Yeah, what? I still haven't quite figured that out. I've never seen an NBA team with like lazier turnovers at this level of the playoffs. Like, they're a really good team, but like even like a high school level, you don't see turnovers like that.
Well, I mean, working back to the fundamentals, that was really shocking. We can file this one under, guys who have it all getting even more. Got to get this in because this Tom Brady video that I watched today.
Fake.
Is this real?
No.
Tom Brady, the most handsome quarterback, the GOAT quarterback, the best we've seen, the guy who could play probably till he's 50, who's got a $300 million deal waiting for him whenever he retires just to go into the broadcast booth. Is this true that he actually hit a hole-in-one today on the golf course?
Well, a hole-in-one is very reasonable, but just have the perfect timing on the drone? No, I do not believe it. Remember the video he had recently of him throwing the football to the moon? It's closer to that one. There's no way. There's no way.
So you think this is all just total BS, that he happened to have the drone? Yeah, this looks pretty fake. So here's my question then. Why does he have to be doing fake internet videos? What's the motivation if that's not real? Plus, he celebrated like he had just won one of his 7 Super Bowls. Why do this to fake out the internet? Is this just his idea of a good time?
Well, okay, the other option is, does he have a drone behind him on every shot? Because, like, what are the odds? Was it just randomly lucky? So
I think Tom Brady has cameras on him at all times.
Yeah, but the drone came in on his backswing. It was beautifully timed. I wonder, did you think he does that on almost every shot? It seems hard to believe, or 18 drives.
His tweet says, this is why you film every shot on the course. I hope that this isn't fake, because it seems to me that if this is fake, it'd be so incredibly lame.
Yeah, or the joke's on us or something. I don't know. If it's real, you know, God bless him. Doesn't he have the match coming up, the Aaron Rodgers match?
Yeah, and they're doing everything they can to publicize this thing. So, I mean, good because they're raising money for charity and things like that. But Josh Allen called BS on it. I don't know. I hope that this is real, because I don't want to believe that Brady's gone to this such. This would just be so lame if he took all this time to make a fake hole-in-one shot.
Well, you know, he's got this incredible social media team who's just like, their creativity knows no bounds. I'm watching him throw a football on the beach to the moon. Remember that? And it's he's got this great.
That was obviously fake. This one he plays off as real. He celebrates like he's riding around the golf course like he's Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, I think his social media team is putting him up to this stuff. I think he's just having too much fun. He's getting too much positive attention. I still vote fake. And if Josh Allen said it, come on, Maggie. We're team Josh Allen here. We got to go with the Bills quarterback.
Well, Patrick Mahomes fell for it, apparently.
Ooh.
Apparently, Patrick Mahomes quote tweeted, like, all right, at least the match is still a couple weeks away. But I don't know. I don't think I believe anything that Tom Brady does at this point.
Yeah.
We need to settle this with the guy who's the most rooted in reality, Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be the guy who finally decides whether or not this is real or not.
Yeah.
Okay. Big, big shout outs. As I said, you can play me off my Sports Emmy fake acceptance speech here to everyone on the radio and TV side who got this home studio up and running so quickly. Thank you. Thank you. Back in New York tomorrow, Perloff and I will be together in the same room. Cannot wait. Thanks, Mike Samter. Thanks, Stu Kovacs. Thank Marlo Donahue. Thank you, everyone on the radio and TV side. Coming up on many of these CBS Sports radio stations, Zach Gelb Show. We're back tomorrow.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.